Good morning. May it please the Court, Christopher Black appearing on behalf of Appellant Ann Nguyen. Ms. Nguyen set forth three errors in her brief, which we believe undermine the validity of the conviction in this case and call for reversal. We believe that each error independently warrants reversal, but particularly in conjunction. These errors are that the district court permitted the jury to convict Ms. Nguyen of something that was not charged in the indictment. The district court delegated its duty to instruct the jury on the law to a government witness, and that the SNAP or food stamp regulations that Ms. Nguyen was convicted of violating were unconstitutionally vague as applied to her conduct. I plan to focus most of my remarks on the first issue. As to that issue, the record shows that Ms. Nguyen was convicted of something different than what she was charged with. The indictment set forth both wire fraud counts as well as SNAP fraud counts. The wire fraud counts alleged a scheme that consisted of Ms. Nguyen steering people to commercial establishments that would, quote, accept the cards for cash instead of eligible food. Also, the indictment contained a charge misrepresentation, which was that the benefits were being used to, quote, purchase eligible food items. As to the SNAP fraud counts, they charged that Ms. Nguyen was violating the SNAP regulations by presenting benefits that were, quote, not used to purchase eligible food. The common element of all these charges is that they all revolved around whether or not food was purchased with the SNAP benefits. I was trial counsel in this case, and I prepared accordingly to defend against the charges in the indictment. The planned defense was to show that the government couldn't meet its burden of showing that food was not purchased with those SNAP benefits.
No, wait. You're saying the indictment charges it was a straight exchange of the, you know, cash, right? It was only cash. Are you saying the indictment, right? The way the indictment is worded, it wouldn't sustain a charge for where the buying of food was involved, whether by, you know, somebody who was not authorized or whether it was so cheap or for any other reason. It's not possible to convict of a crime involving the sale of food. Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to understand your theory.
I would submit that the indictment as worded would prohibit conviction under the facts of this case, whether there might be some way around the scenario that Your Honor suggests. I don't know. I can't think of one. The indictment is very clear that cash was exchanged for benefits from the stores and that food was not purchased.
All right.
Wasn't that the government's theory throughout? Essentially, there was no purchase of food. This was a situation where they went through various steps, but the point was to get cash for food stamps.
That's what the government argues, but that is not what the record reveals.
Okay, why not?
The government did not prove that food was not purchased during the transactions in the store. The record does tend to show, if anything, that food was purchased. The none of the government agents were ever inside the store during the transactions where
why don't you go through step by step one of these transactions with an undercover agent, right?
Yes.
And your client, in which what the record shows as to what happened step by step and involving the purchase of food.
Essentially,
first of all, she would meet somebody outside the store, right?
Correct.
All right, and then what?
She would get the card.
Yeah.
She would go into the store. A transaction would occur inside the store.
Oh, what's a transaction? Buying food?
Well,
or we don't know.
We know for sure that the card was run through the food stamp machine inside the store.
If it weren't run, you wouldn't have a crime, right?
Yeah.
Or you might have an attempt, but you wouldn't have, you know.
So it was run, and does the record show whether she got cash or food or both or what?
The record does not show that she did not get food in any of the charged transactions.
But it shows she walked out and gave the undercover agent money, right?
It does. Well, it shows that the undercover agents eventually got money.
Right.
It doesn't show where that money came from.
Well, didn't it come from her?
It did come from her, but it didn't.
You mean it's not physically traced? It's coming from the store to her directly? Is that what you're saying?
Physically or in any way. There was no evidence offered that money came from the store.
This is charity. They give her. She
found it on the floor,
and she decided to give it to them.
Where does the food come in? In that transaction.
There were for some of the transactions, no witnesses testified as to what happened inside the store. There were transactions where there were witnesses inside the store and where evidence was offered about what happened inside. And during those transactions, the evidence tended to show that food was purchased. And
where are you referring to in the record on that, counsel?
That would be during Officer Wynn's testimony. Which would be at page 132 to 159 of the record.
32 to 159, and you're saying that his testimony was that she purchased food with the stamps? I mean, with the card?
Well, I should be more...
That's an awful lot of pages. Can you narrow
it
down?
It was 132 to 159. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's a lot of pages.
I'm sorry. I can't point more specifically to that.
But your claim is that the officer testified that Ms. Wynn used the card to buy food.
Let me clarify as to exactly what I'm saying.
That's not what I read. So
no, the officer, all of the evidence introduced during the officer's testimony tends to show that food was purchased, and tends to show.
And what are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get there. What the exact evidence was the recordings of the transactions that occurred while Officer Wynn was in the store. Those were introduced during his testimony.
The recordings. You mean the recordings from the store that showed her running through, and you're saying that there were groceries or something that came?
And the audio recordings reveal that she ordered food.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a discussion of purchasing food.
There are two or three items. I mean, almost like bulk items, two or three, right? Several items. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, there's beef and fish and shrimp and
in big quantities.
Yes.
I mean, more than you would eat at a meal.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. But did
she walk out with the food?
Did
she walk out with the food?
There evidence was introduced showing her leaving the store with the food, not necessarily at the exact same time as the purchase. There video clips were introduced showing Ms. Wynn leaving the stores with food, but again, they weren't necessarily in conjunction with the...
So was there any, in conjunction with these, this we're talking about, was there any evidence she actually walked out with the food?
No evidence was introduced that she walked out with the food.
But there was...
And it's not otherwise tied to any specific transaction, is it?
The evidence...
Of walking out with the food.
Is not tied to a specific transaction, no.
All right, now, but...
A specific charge transaction, right. I should clarify.
But she does go out and give money.
Yeah, right, that was my next question. For every transaction charge, or at least, you know, where there was a guilty verdict, there is evidence that money changed hands. In other words, that the SNAP card holder received money.
That is correct. The evidence does show that. And I'd like to reserve...
If the jury could infer, right, that the money received by the SNAP card holder came from the store, and your case is that, well, she purchased food with it, then she sort of got twice as much as she should have for the food, for the card. Isn't that what it amounts to? She got paid twice. Is that your case?
No.
Well, otherwise it doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, what the evidence, how the evidence reads as far as we're concerned, is that food was purchased during the transactions, then Ms. Nguyen paid the cardholders for that food.
What?
Paid the card.
Okay. They lend her their card. She goes to the store, buys food, and then she comes back after she leaves the store and pays them for the food. That's your
correct
theory?
But isn't that contradictory to at least what I understood the evidence to be, was that her deal was, give me your SNAP card, I'll go get some cash, and I'll give you half the value of what you have on this SNAP card in cash. That was the deal, wasn't it?
Well, that was what happened.
Okay, in every instance that the government presented evidence of a transaction, that's what happened, right? Nobody disputes that.
That cash went to the card holder.
Cash went to the SNAP card holder, half the amount of the value of the SNAP card at that time.
Correct. That was not...
Okay, so you're suggesting that even though that happened, that the jury is not entitled to infer, because of these pictures that you say of her purchasing food, that somehow she went into the store, magically came out with cash, still had food for it, and that somehow the government was not defrauded. Is that what you're asking us to infer?
I'm asking that the court recognize that no evidence was produced showing that food wasn't purchased or that cash came from the stores.
Let me ask another. I know you're over time, but Chief will permit this. So before I forget, now, if your theory is correct, in other words, that when she got the food, she bought the food for the SNAP card holder, and then the SNAP card holder sold it to her, and she gave him cash then for that. Right? That's what you're saying.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, if that's true, that could still be a crime under the SNAP regulations, right? Because you can buy food only for yourself, for the cardholder's family. But you agree with that, right? Or at least you agree with that. That's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
All right. But your case would be that that crime wasn't charged in the indictment. Is that right? That kind of crime?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So you weren't prepared to defend against that? Well, that's part of your case. I mean, it was not charged.
That's very much part of the case, that each of the counts in the indictment had a requirement that, or had a condition that food wasn't actually purchased.
You could have asked for a bill of particulars sooner, right?
I did ask. There was a bill of particulars.
You could have asked for it weeks earlier than that, or months earlier than that, right?
Well,
you could have asked for continuance afterwards. If you needed more time to prepare.
The relevant bill of particulars that added the additional regulations that were at issue in the jury instructions wasn't filed until either 4 or 5 days prior to trial.
That was the amended bill.
Correct. The initial bill of particulars didn't make these changes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Tom Woods, and I represent the United States. The theory that the defense puts forward as to what the facts showed below, it comes from page 18 of their reply brief. And they say that Ms. Nguyen has asserted that these transactions can be viewed as her using the agent's cards to purchase eligible food on their behalf and then repurchasing the food from the undercover agents. And with complete respect, that is absolutely not supported in the record.
You mean there's not sufficient evidence to support that theory?
Not sufficient evidence. There's not a scintilla of evidence to support that version of events. I mean, the facts here are not complicated.
But there is this one, I remember distinctly this one purchase about, you know, coming out with a big box of some kind of meat or fish or something like that, right?
Well, I'll address that, but let's talk about how these transactions unfolded.
Okay.
Which is, you have an undercover officer with an undercover card, meets the defendant either on the street or in front of a store. That card is then taken into the store by the defendant. Most of the times, the officer is not allowed in the store. There are a couple of occasions, including this one occasion that Your Honor just referenced, in which the officer is allowed in the store.
That's where the tape was made?
Yeah, and there was actually almost all of these transactions, all but one, involved a recording device, a video recording device. It's just that in most of these times, the officer was not allowed in the store. They were directed either to come back later in the day or to wait outside the store. In all those occasions, the officer gives their card and gets back cash, about half, 50 cents on the dollar. The officer wasn't offered food, wasn't asked about food, wasn't given food, wasn't sold food, and most certainly did not resell any food to the defendant. I mean, it just simply didn't happen. I mean, it's as simple as the card was given, cash was given back. And that version of events is entirely consistent with what is in the indictment. In paragraph 8, the defendant met people, steered them to multiple establishments for the purpose of redeeming their benefits for cash. That's what happened. Paragraph 9, she obtained the cards from individuals, took the cards into commercial establishments for the purpose of redeeming benefits for cash. That's what happened.
Quick question. I don't remember seeing this in the record, but were any of the merchants who obviously would have had to facilitate these transactions charged by the government as well as co-conspirators or something of that nature?
There was one store owner who is essentially not the subject of any of the charge counts, but she came
up. I understand. What I'm trying to understand is what the jury could have inferred in terms of, whatever happened in terms of food and so on. If you had a cooperative owner, it really doesn't matter as long as you got card, get back cash.
I totally agree, and we argued to the jury, and I think appropriately so, because the evidence supports it, that the stores were her co-schemers. And let's break that out. There are a number of reasons for that. First is, she is on tape at one point telling the undercover officer they're worried, referencing the store, that you're with the FBI. Okay? That tends to show that the store understands there's something not quite right about all this. Second, she's repeatedly going in to the stores. I mean, the testimony at trial was, first of all, we have this spate of undercover transactions that span from 2007 to 2010, but there's also testimony that they're observing her going in with other individuals or taking cards from other individuals with a small set of stores. So you've got a small store a few blocks from this courthouse, and you've got the same person going in not just day after day, hour after hour, with different cards. Of course the store knows something is up. I mean, think about how food stamps work. You get a card, you get a certain amount of benefits every month. You can't be coming in repeatedly hour after hour. Plus, she's standing in front of the store soliciting customers.
Does the record show that it's the requirement of the store owners to only give merchandise when these cards are used?
Yes, and it's 278.7 CFR 278.2, which is cited in the indictment, cited in paragraph 3. And that says that coupons may be accepted by an authorized retail food store only from eligible households or from their authorized representatives. So, for example, somebody's too elderly, they have their son or daughter go to the store, and only in exchange for eligible food.
And then there's a regulation that wasn't in the indictment, right?
274.10, which was not specifically referenced in the indictment, talks about that it's the flip side of 278. So 278 talks about what are the obligations on the retailer. 274 talks about, all right, then what's the flip side? What's the obligations on the benefit holder? And those talk about 274.10D, that the benefits may only be used by the household or the person the household selects to purchase eligible food for the household. And, of course, that's the case, right? This is an in-kind program. This isn't a cash program.
Well, when you say of course, it wasn't so much of course at the trial because you had expert, so what amounted to expert testimony on it, right?
Well, and here's my response to that. I was thinking back to my law school days and taking a class from Judge LaValle, and I remember him listing 10 facts. He said the gun's in the safe. The man started running from the car. It was hot outside. And at the end, he said, what's the most important fact I just said? Of course, law students not knowing better, we ventured guesses. It's the gun. It's the fact he's running away. And he said, you're all wrong, because I haven't identified what the issue is. That's what makes those facts important. And so here, you got to think about those 12 people in the box. They're about to see undercover video after undercover video talking about these transactions. For them to appreciate the significance, what they need to focus on as being relevant and important, they have to have some basic framework for how the program works. Why is it we're showing this? It matters that you can't get cash for your benefits. It matters. This is what puts into context all of her otherwise very suspicious behavior, asking the officer whether he's a police officer, the fact that all this is done outside primarily, and you have to come back later in the day, the fact that...
What's the significance of, and there's a little bit of evidence that, you know, the defendant walked out of the store with food. What's the significance of that evidence?
I would say none. And I'd say none because...
Was that your argument to the jury that, you know, it's irrelevant?
Yes. Yes. And it is irrelevant because this scheme, first of all, let's break that into two points. First, it's flatly illegal. I mean, there really can't be a debate about that. If you look at 278.2 and 270...
Well, but illegal, though, is not the same thing as a crime charged in the indictment.
So you anticipated my second point, because that was first, is it's illegal. But second, it is what's charged in the indictment, because, again, this is not a situation in which the stores are unwittingly giving food to somebody thinking that this is otherwise a legitimate transaction. This is something the stores understand perfectly well, or at least that's the evidence now in this appellate posture that the court should view it as, and certainly how the jury viewed it as, that this is the stores understanding this is a scheme of benefits for cash. That's what it is. That's why she's standing there. That's why another example of why the stores understand what's going on. There was one video in which actually the undercover had to wait, because the defendant is there with two other individuals facilitating an illegal transaction. Stores understand perfectly well what's going on here.
I gather that the government's position on Sullivan is that even if there was testimony about a legal conclusion, that it's harmless error given the vast amount of other information that was there and the court's instruction.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Absolutely. And I will also say that I did the direct of Mr. Sullivan, and I was very careful not to elicit anything about regulations. I was careful not to elicit anything about the defendant, particularly to herself. We called Mr. Sullivan because he had no involvement in the investigation. The only reference to regulations came when Mr. Black cross-examined him and brought out and elicited the fact that what he had just talked about for 20 minutes came from the regulations. But he didn't opine on her guilt or innocence. He didn't talk about anything specific to the defendant. All he did was to give the jury some framework, some basic framework. He was the first witness in the trial to understand what was happening.
Does it matter legally that opposing counsel was the one who elicited the testimony?
I'm out of time to answer the question.
Of course, you must answer the question.
No, I would say it's invited error at that point.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Unless the panel has any further questions.
No.
Thank you. I think you're out of time, but if you like a minute for a bottle, you can have it. You don't have to.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just like to emphasize that the record does not show that Ms. Nguyen and anybody from the stores were co-schemers. There's no evidence that they had...
When you say it doesn't show, I don't know. You don't think a reasonable jury could infer that? She walks out with fistfuls of cash. She does it repeatedly to the same stores? I don't know. I think the jury would have to be really stupid to infer anything else.
There was no testimony from anybody from the stores.
There's lots of stuff. You're a criminal defense lawyer, right? You know how these things go. And there's lots of stuff that people don't come out and blab about and don't testify to. The jury's perfectly well infer all the time. I mean, people don't say, "Gee, I had malice aforethought. I intended to kill." They don't do any of that stuff, and the juries regularly find stuff that's not testified to. Why is this a fair inference from the evidence presented here that this was a scheme in which your client and the stores participated on a regular basis?
Because there's no direct evidence of that, and I understand obviously that the jury can draw inferences, but the complete lack of any sort of agreement, any sort of payment records, there is nothing showing a path from the store to Ms. Nguyen of money. And
she comes out with cash. I mean, she doesn't come out holding groceries. She comes out, she hands over cash. She does it again and again and again and again and again. And that's,
She has cash. There is no evidence that it comes from the stores. What there is evidence that she gets food from the stores.
I think maybe the chief is referring to what we call circumstantial evidence. I mean, you don't have to have testimony about a lot of things, right? You can infer it from the circumstances.
Of course, Your Honor. But what I'm saying...
Well, you're not going to say there's no circumstantial evidence that supports that conclusion, but if the jury made such a conclusion, are you? Well, are you?
I'm saying that there's insufficient evidence to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right. Okay.
That she was a co-schemer, which is one of the elements...
I think we understand your argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case just argued will stand submitted. We'll next hear the argument, the last case...